Good morning. How are you?
It is great to see you. Do you love Jesus? Fantastic. Do you love your campus pastors? Aren't they just amazing? Come on, I reckon we can do better than that. Don't you love Ryan and Lindsay? Aren't these guys the best? Again, I'm not just returning serve here. I would have said it either way. These guys are the most wonderful people. And, you know, every time we come to Atlanta and my wife and I, we're going to be here, I think in July, we're going to come spend a month over here. We look forward to hanging with these guys. And we kind of walk away each time going, man, I wish we lived in the same country, in the same place, because I reckon we'd just be hanging all the time. We just think you guys are just beautiful and wonderful and you know, even more beautiful now you got rid of that beard that you had on the screen earlier. Look like you're about to climb a mountain, wrestle a grizzly. And it was thick. These are just wonderful people, and they do love you. And if you are new here and you wonder, you know, you might have been to a church before, you thought, okay, is this the show? Are they just putting it on? No, they really are this kind and this nice, and they do love Jesus. And it's unfair having a campus pastor that can sing that good too when he takes the meeting. As soon as I walk up there and start to sing, my sound guy puts my microphone down so that the Holy Spirit stays in the room. But these are just wonderful people, and you're in a great place, and it's going to be a great day, amen? Who's excited for the Super Bowl? Oh, okay, I thought it'd be a bit, you know, who thinks Kansas City's going to win? All right, who thinks the other team, the 49ers? 49ers are going to win? Who doesn't care? Okay, all right. Going to leave the football alone. Okay, if we've not met, I'm Josh, and my wife's Shana, and you'll probably meet her later in the year. And I've got two boys, Jackson, he's 9, just turned 9. Jordan, my youngest, is 5. And this week he started school for the first time. In Australia, we start in January. And so I thought, we had a public holiday Monday, I thought he'd start Tuesday. So I booked my flight to come over here Wednesday. Well, the school we're in thought after 6 weeks of holidays, the teachers needed an extra 2 days. God bless them. And so he started Thursday. So literally while I was in the air flying here, my boy had his first day at school. Now, my wife said I'm not in trouble for this, but let me assure you, I am. Ryan, you know what I'm talking about. Shana said it's fine. But I landed in Dallas as they were getting ready, so we FaceTimed, and then the plane was taking off as she was driving them to school. So I missed the moment. So I'm going home in a few days with presents for my youngest. I said, what do you want? And he asked for Wolverine claws. Do you know how hard it is to find Wolverine claws? Like, not like an actual Wolverine, but like off X-Men. And thank God for Amazon. And I don't even know if I can get it in the country. And he's probably going to take out his brother's eye. But I missed his first day of school, so we're going to go with it. So that's my family. And today I just want to share a word with you. That's somewhere just between where you've been and where you're going. Talking to Pastor Ryan about the next season, and let me tell you, be in church next week. He's got a word for you, and something that's just going to build layer upon layer what God's been saying. And we've been talking about being bold, and today I just want to continue that and encourage you that if you can be bold and confident of where you are, of enduring and trusting God, He'll never let His blessings, His supply, and His favor over your life run out. Amen. Just sometimes we've got to believe it. Sometimes we get the wrong things in our head. A few years ago, I went to the doctor, and let me backtrack a little. When I was younger, I don't know, different people wanted to be a different thing. Some people want to be a doctor. Some people want to be a firefighter. I just wanted to be tall. That was it. Now, literally, that was it. What do you mean? I want to be a man. I want to be tall. And because I wanted to be a basketballer, and I thought, you know, I've got to be tall to be a basketballer. So I was literally this height in year 7. In year 7, I had size 11 feet, and I was this tall, and I was the tallest in my class, and I have not grown a millimeter since. Not at all. Not a bit. And I thought the favor of God was on my life, and then something must have gone wrong, I thought, because I haven't grown at all since that day. So my aim was always to be 6'6", Michael Jordan's height. And so that was what I was aiming for. And then when I realized this growth thing wasn't happening for me, I just aimed for 6 foot. I just settled. I just became a little bit more realistic. And then as I didn't reach 6 foot, I just told myself I'm just under 6 foot. So how someone say, how tall are you? Just under 6 foot. And so in my head, somewhere along the line, it's true, I just believed that I was 5'11". And so I went to the doctor around 20, I'm 30, 38 now, and around 27 I went to the doctor and did the usual checks and asked the weight and asked my age and said, how tall are you? And I said, I'm 5'11". And because I believed it. And he said, he laughed like you did. And I was very offended. And I said, why are you laughing? He said, you're not 5'11". And I said, I don't know, maybe you're not an optometrist, so maybe get your eyes checked. I think I am. And he said, well, let's measure you. And I said, well, this is going to be embarrassing for you, doctor. And so I went over to a measuring tape, and he asked me to take off my shoes, and I was a bit disappointed. And then said, stand up. And even at 27, I was stretching, like, as far as I could, like, every limb. And I stretched, and he measured me and said, you're 5'7". I said, sorry, doctor, you're wrong. And he said, no, you're 5'7". And I said, I don't know where those certificates came from, but they surely weren't a good college. And he said, no, he said, you're 5'7". I said, is your measuring tape right? He looked at me and was like, well, it's a measuring tape. It probably is right. So he did it again, and 5'7". I don't tell you, I've never been more disappointed than that day in my life. Like, I went home and had a strong cordial. I was just so... It's a juice. Not that type. But anyway, we'll move on. But I was devastated. Because in my head, I just believed that I was just under 6 foot and therefore 5'11". But I was 5'7". There's things that just get in your head and they stick there. One of the things that I feel like God's been working in my mind with lately is that, if I'm honest, I've grown up in a home where Mum and Dad showed us how to pray and we always in the Word and always are in church. But I really would believe, even to the last year, that my behavior affected God's view on me. And the way I was and the way I acted and what happened around me was really determined by how good I was and how much I prayed and how much I was in the Word and how faithful I was. And there's certain things that just made me believe that I could bend God's arm to have Him love me more and favor me more. And the truth is, there's things that are consequential for me and what are my actions, what I do well and what I do poorly. But I'm just starting to realize that God's favor and love for me doesn't change depending on how good I am. That depending on whether I'm having a good day or how I feel about myself can't change the feelings of God. I'm just not that powerful. And I want to just simply come and remind you today that God has a supernatural flow for your life. He has supernatural favor for your life. That there's supernatural power for your life. And that the Holy Spirit is always waiting with an answer for you and always has supernatural supply that we can't see but maybe is just beneath the surface if we're willing to do exactly what Pastor Ryan said before. Endure, trust, and just dig another well because God has an answer for you here. And if you've been coming, if you come in this place today and you don't have the answers you're looking for and you're just holding on, believing that maybe you can turn around. I want to tell you that God's supply is already provided and that He promised that we could loose what was available in the heavenlies if we were just willing to grab a hold of some of the keys that He gave to us. He said He'd build the kingdom, He'd build our life, but He gave us the keys to the kingdom of heaven to loose that supernatural power that's available for your life. And I just want to encourage you today that there's a supply, there's a river, there's living water that's available for your life that you would just push in today and believe maybe a little bit differently that God has good for you. Amen. So why don't we pray? Father, bless this, anoint this. Let it not be just my words, but let it be your Spirit speaking to all of us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 26 verse 1. Just important context for the beginning. It says, now there was famine in the land. There's a famine in the land where this story is about to take place. Not favorable circumstances. Maybe you're here today and it seemed like a famine season. Maybe it's been a frustrating or difficult season. It's life. But there's a famine in the land. He goes on now in 26 verse 3, God's talking to Isaac. Everyone say, Isaac. Says God says to Isaac, stay in this land for a while and I will be with you. As Pastor Ryan said, endure. Everyone say, endure. God says, endure in this place a little longer. I'll be with you and I will bless you. I'll make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and I'll give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. So, it was a famine. God says endure. And during that famine season, it goes on in verse 12, Isaac planted crops in the land and the same year reaped, say with me, 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. In a famine season, God gave Isaac a time of unusual favor. That when there was famine, when there, everything around him said he shouldn't be blessed, God's favor is greater than natural circumstances. When your history says that you shouldn't be favored, when last year says you should never be forgiven, when you don't feel like you can walk into the next year boldly and confidently, God wants you to know that you are highly favored, that you are desperately loved, that you are a child of God, that he is an all-forgiving, all-wonderful, all-powerful, all-loving father, and he has good for your life. And just because no one else can see it, or just because your history says you shouldn't have it, doesn't mean that God's unusual favor is not available for your life. Isaac and us have everything in common. Because as we go into this new decade, the reality is because you're still sitting here, that means you are favored, not just because you were lucky, not just because you were set up, but because God is good to you. Everything we received in this last year, everything God has for us in this next year, the reason I still have my mind, the reason I haven't just lost it, the reason I didn't just have a breakdown is because I'm still here, because God's favor is on my life. The reason I'm still sitting here, breathing, clothed, fed, is because God's favor is on my life. The reason I can worship, the reason I can look to tomorrow, the reason I can take communion boldly, knowing that God has good for me, is there is unusual favor on my life, not because I'm good, but because God's good. That if you're here in a famine season and you're going through a difficult season, if you don't know what this year holds for you, I want to remind you, while we have winter seasons, heaven doesn't have a winter season. And while we may go through a famine, God's favor, God's blessing, and God's promises never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just because I change, or they change, my job change, or my circumstance changes, doesn't mean that God's promises and God's favor changes for my life. He's El Shaddai, even when there's nothing in my life. He's Jehovah Jireh, even when I'm in lack. He's a God that says, when you just sow seed and remain and endure and trust, even when it's a famine season, I'll give you a season of unusual harvest. And like Isaac, I believe there can be 100-fold harvest for your life. The conditions were not right for sowing. When everyone else says, don't sow seed, when everyone says it's not the time, when everyone else says you can't be favored, when God says endure, when God says trust, when God says stay, when God says plant that seed in the soil that I've given to you, when God says trust the environment that I've given to you, when God says take the word that I've given to you and put it into the soil, he is the one that gave the seed, he is the one that created the soil, and he is the one that's going to bring the harvest. Amen? That's why Ecclesiastes says that farmers that wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they'll never harvest. I want to remind you that God favors obedience and faith more than he does natural logic. That if we are to be the people God's called us to be, I believe one of the greatest things we need to see in this next year, in this next decade, because there is no question that Jesus is coming back. We don't talk about it often. But you look around the world and the things that's going on, there's no question that we're getting closer to the day that God returns. And I believe the signs that will come with this, as the world gets darker and the light, our light needs to shine brighter, there needs to be more supernatural power in our life, more supernatural power in the church, more unbelievable signs and wonders that can only point to a miracle-working God. And that means that we can't just look at natural circumstances and what's going on in my life, but instead to the supernatural promises that God has made available for our life, that the windows of heaven are open and they've never been shut, that God's power and majesty, God's supernatural blessing and favor on your life has not changed and is still available for you today. Amen? Just sometimes God wants to do things outside of your comfort zone. So let's go on. It says in verse 14, are you doing okay? Yeah. Come on. It says, Isaac acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle and servants, that the Philistines became jealous of him. So the Philistines filled up all of Isaac's wells with dirt. Say with me, they filled it up with dirt. These were the wells that had been dug by the servants of his father, Abraham. He has these wells, these generational wells. And the enemy comes and puts dirt in his wells. At Christmas time, we had all of the family over our house. And one family for lunch, one family for dinner. It was a mistake. But anyway, we did it. And of course, you know, you just want everyone to rock up and the house looks perfect, but it doesn't get that way by itself. So a couple months out, Sean said, let's do up the backyard. Even though it was so hot at Christmas time, because it's incredibly hot in Christmas in Australia, we couldn't sit in the backyard. Doesn't matter. But come back to the point. So we went to plant these plants in the backyard, and I'm useless at gardening. So I went down to the local hardware shop and bought some plants and bought some dirt, I think, and some fertilizer. And there's a certain fertilizer that we've got called blood and bone. And, you know, so I put the plants in and I put the soil in and I put the blood and bone fertilizer on and then put some bark on top. And I was pretty proud of my efforts because I'm not very good at gardening. And they looked pretty nice and I thought I did a good job. Well, I've got this dog. And this dog was an incredible mistake. And if the Lord ever tells you to get a dog, consult Pastor Ryan. And I wake up in the morning and he must have smelt the blood and bone fertilizer. So he dug up all of my plants. I wanted to put my dog in the dirt. But I didn't, no judgment. See, the enemy comes and there's these wells. And there's a little brain break. And he comes and he throws dirt in the wells. Because the enemy thinks that if he can stop your flow, he can stop your favor. You see, Isaac was favored and nothing could take away his favor from God. So when the enemy can't take away your favor, the enemy tries to stop your flow. I want to tell you today, you might feel dry today and you may not feel like you've got this flow with God going on at the moment, but just because you feel that your flow stopped doesn't mean that God's favor has stopped for your life. You see, we often look at the flow instead of looking at the favor. There's going to be times where our flow dries up. Me too. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher, a new Christian, or been a follower of God for a long, long time. There's times where you feel dry, but it doesn't mean that God's feelings and God's favor has changed for your life. You've just got to stop looking at the well and you've got to start looking at the reservoir. You see, there's this. We love taps, right? When we build a house, we went and looked at all these different taps because we like taps and we look at taps and we think taps are pretty because that's where the water comes out. But who knows, that's not where the water comes out. The water is attached to a reservoir. See, there's this story of Lawrence of Arabia, and he gets all of these sheikhs from around like the Middle East and he takes them to Europe and he takes them to Paris and he shows them the latest technology of the day and he takes them to the Louvre or the Louvre, whatever it is, and shows them modern art and all of the wonders of the world. And they're staying in this hotel and Lawrence of Arabia goes for a walk and he comes back to the hotel and there's all these police cars and police outside the hotel. And he goes in to find that all of these sheikhs that he brought to Europe were all under arrest. And he asks, what's going on? These are my guests. And they say they opened up all of the bags of all of the sheikhs and the sheikhs had taken all of the taps from the hotel room and stolen the taps, wanting to take them home. And you wonder, why would the sheikhs take the taps? Because when you come from the desert, technology doesn't help you and art doesn't help you, but you need water more than you need anything else. You see, they thought that if they could just get a hold of the tap, that there would be a flow in their life, not realizing that the tap was merely just the mechanism of which the reservoir that the tap was attached to allows that water to get into their life. You see, as Christians, we've got so focused on the taps. We start looking at the wells. We start looking at the people. We start looking at the things. We start looking at the songs. We start looking at the sermon. We start looking at all these things, thinking that's where the flow comes from. Now, that's just the mechanism that God allows that water to get into your life. You see, Isaac never got affected by the fact that they put dirt in his wells. And let me tell you why. Because the well held the water, but he knew this secret. It wasn't the well that gave him the water. It was the reservoir that was under the ground. So Isaac, even though he knows his flow has stopped, he knows his favor hasn't stopped. So you know what Isaac does? He moves on and he digs another well because he knows where his source is. His source is not in the well. His source is the favor of God that put a reservoir under the ground and he begins to tap into that water that's about to bring favor into that next season. See, When you go through a dry season, that doesn't mean you're out of the favor of God. Because favored one day, not favored the next, it's not how it works, but it's how we think. Isaac has a hundredfold harvest in a season of trusting God. But when things turn around, does he stop trusting God? No, Isaac endures. And you know what he does? He digs another well. Because the source is not the well, it's the reservoir underneath. When you dry up and you lose your flow, you find another place of flow, amen? I tell you, there's no restriction on the flow of God for your life. Just dig another well. There's no water restriction. There's a reservoir of living water in the Holy Spirit that you just got to tap into afresh. It's just another dig away. I want to encourage you, sometimes we get stuck in disappointment, frustration, complaining, complacency, and hurt. But in the midst of adversity, I want to tell you, you just go and dig another well because the favor of God has not changed over your life. Be bold, be confident. He's put you in the right environment. He hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't changed his feeling. He hasn't changed his opinion. Just dig another well and get your flow back because your favor never changed. Amen? Come on, why don't you give God praise? Goes on. Genesis 26, verse 20. He moves on, digs another well. But then, you get nervous when it says, but then. But then the shepherds from Gerar came and claimed the spring. This is our water, they said. And they argued, everyone say argued, over it with Isaac's herdsmen. So Isaac named that well Esek, which means argument. So here's the well of Abraham. They chuck dirt on it. He moves on. He digs another well. Surely this is my time, God. Well, the shepherds come and they argue over the well. Can I tell you what Isaac does? He moves on and he digs another well. Because Isaac's already learned the lesson that my favor doesn't stop. Maybe my flow stopped. So I'm going to go and I'm going to dig another well until I have another harvest season. You see, he doesn't fight them. He calls it for what it is. What does he call that well? Argument. You see, too many of us want to call a difficult season, it's an attack from the enemy, brother. We want to over-spiritualize it. We want to say, you know what? No, maybe it was what I did wrong last year. Maybe it's a curse over my life. And we love to come and label these things that happen in our life. But not Isaac. He's not over-spiritualizing it because he knows that his favor has never stopped. And there's another reservoir under the ground. So he calls it for what it is, an argument, and he moves on. Some of us need to stop blaming the last season and looking backwards. That's his scripture in Hebrew. The sin that trips us up, it goes on in verse 15 to talk about that sin is bitterness. Because when we're running in this direction, looking to the past season, we're running forwards, looking backwards, and eventually bitterness from the past is going to trip us up. Stop focusing on the last season. Stop focusing on the difficult person. Stop focusing on what hasn't happened in the last time. Call it for what it is. They were a jerk. It was a difficult day. It was a mistake. It was a bad season. It was an argument, but it doesn't stop my favor. Maybe it got in the way of my flow. So I'm going to endure, move on, dig another well, and get that living water in my life again. Amen? Move on. 2019 was difficult? Sure. Don't pretend it wasn't. However, Isaac doesn't just ignore it. Some of us just need to call it for what it is. That was a bad year. Move on. Some of us in our marriages, not saying move on. Be very clear. But it's just a difficult season. Maybe we'd move past the difficult seasons if we just called it for what it was instead of trying to be right, instead of trying to win. Because there's a flow and favor of God for your life and your marriage. If instead of just trying to say right and wrong, we just call it for what it is, we're at an impasse. But you know what? We're favored. We love each other. We made a choice. So we're going to endure. I feel that's a word for someone today. Maybe it just wasn't a season where I saw that blessing. But you know what? While earth has a famine season, heaven doesn't. And I know God's taking care of me either way. Stop fighting about this patch and know that there's a source for your life. Amen? So verse 20, 21. Isaac's men then dug another well. We'll put it on the screen if we can. It says this in Genesis 26, verse 21. Then Isaac's men dug another well. Come on, say it with me. Isaac's men then dug another well. But again, there was a dispute over it. I mean, is anyone relating to this? I'm just trying to catch a break. It's thing after thing after thing. Do you know when seasons are good, they're good. But it's like when things get difficult, everything happens. You don't get that fine or that large bill until you lose your job. I had a season last year where my oven went. 2 days later, a toilet broke. How does a toilet break? Two cars needed servicing. One had three major issues. A huge fine, our rates came in, a fine came in. At the same time, God calls us to be generous. And we're like, yeah, fine, it doesn't come in once. Because I feel like the enemy feels like if he can dry us up and stop our flow, he'll stop our favor. But he's mistaken. So Isaac's men dug another well, and there was a dispute over it. So Isaac named it Sitnah, which means hostility. So again, there's hostility. Before it was an argument, I feel like hostility, well, an argument is about a thing. Hostility is an attack on me. But you know what Isaac realizes, and maybe just the keys can come? The water matters more than the well. The water matters more than the well. The Spirit of God matters more than the well. The flow in my life matters more than arguing over that tap. The opinion of me, you know, sometimes it's not about being right, even though you're right. There's someone, if I'm honest, in my life at the moment that's just frustrating. Bless them, Jesus. And they're in my head. And I've had people say, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to go fight for truth? Are you going to go fight for the church? You know, I feel like I've just been saying to them, I'm just going to go dig another well. Because I can just try and prove a point, or I can just try justify it. And I find even when you're right, it goes around and around and around and around in your head. But I don't want to live thinking about them. And I don't want to live thinking about the last season. I don't want to live thinking about what could be. I just want to dig another well because I know where my source comes from. I know where my favor comes from. I know where the blessing comes from. So I'm just going to go and dig another well. Isaac didn't enter into the fight, even though hostility came. It was an attack on him. Do you know what Isaac does? Isaac's like, peace, see you later. I'm going to dig another well. Drop the mic, out of here. I know where my source comes from. I know where my favor comes from. I know where my flow comes from. I know that there's enough living water for me, my tribe, my family, and the next season. Devil, you attack me, I'm going to dig another well. Try and make me dry, I'm going to dig another well. Try and point out the famine season, I'm the favorite of God. I'm going to dig another well. He moved on. If again, at the start of the year, it might be time for some of us too as well. Time to forgive. Time to stop dwelling. Time to stop running our race rather than tripping up on the things of last year. Move on. Dig again. So abandoning that one, verse 22, it ends well. Abandoning that one. This is a word for someone. There's some things you've got to abandon. There's some things you've got to let go of to grab a hold of what God's got next. I mean this, I just feel the Holy Spirit saying this. Some of us are trying to grab a hold of God's next season while holding on to our last season. Abandoning that one. It was His. As was the one before. As was the one before. But abandoning that one, Isaac moved on and dug another well. This time, there was no dispute over it. So Isaac named that place Rehoboth, which means open space. For he said, at last, the Lord has created enough space for us to prosper in the land. I believe that God has supernatural supply, favor, and blessing over your life, and He's waiting to meet your need. The amazing thing that we won't talk about today, but maybe in these next seasons, is a seed has to die for fruit and life to come. Sometimes we have to die to our way, our winning, and our past seasons if we're going to have fruit in the new season. At the end of the day, even in the story of Jesus, they dug a hole and they put Him in, and He had to die so that we could have life. Everything has to die for there to be new life. And maybe we have to die sometimes to be in right. And maybe we've got to die sometimes to our ways. And maybe we've got to die some ways, time to our comfort zone for us to step and realize that it never was a restriction on flow or favor. I just got to dig a new well. I just got to trust and pray again. I just got to fast and believe again. Maybe God is just moving you out of your comfort zone. Maybe the very thing that was good for Isaac was that he wasn't just dependent on the wells that his father dug, but he'd go and dig a well for his own family. Maybe the wells that you dug were good for the past seasons, but God's got exceedingly abundantly above anything you could ask, think, or imagine in the new season, but it's going to require you to dig another well. Maybe the breakthrough and the blessing is not where you're standing now. Maybe the breakthrough and the blessing's found in Jesus, but you've got dependent on your comfort zone and your surrounds and your job and your home and the people you know, because they're my source of blessing. Because we can't help but attach what we have to those things around us. But maybe Jesus is moving you out of your comfort zone so that you'd be dependent, that he would be your source again, and he would be your supply again, and he would be your life again. So go dig another well and begin to pray and push in again and fast and declare again and step in faith again. You know, I love this time what he calls it, open space. Do you know what that sounds like to me? Sounds like a new decade. Sounds like a new year. Open space. We've never been this way before. Stop telling yourself that the 20s are going to be like the 19s. Stop telling yourself that this year is going to be like the last year. Stop saying this season is going to be like the last season. Stop reminding God of where you were and start telling yourself he's got something greater ahead. It's open space. It's not previous space. It's not the old thing. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. He says, forgetting the former things, do not dwell on the past. He needs a renewed wineskin to pour in new wine. There's a new manner and a new day. There's living water and it's found in open space. I love this. So then goes on in verse 26. Are you doing well? Says then one day, King Ablich. Very accurate Jewish pronunciation. He came. Why have you come here? Isaac asked. You obviously hate me. This is the Philistine king. It's the first king. Isaac said, you obviously hate me since you kicked me off your land. They replied, we can plainly see that the Lord is with you. So we want to enter into a sworn treaty with you. Let's make a covenant. Swear that you will not harm us, just as we never troubled you. One second. This is the king that came and said this was our well. This is the king that made his family move their home. This is the king that caused him trouble. And this king comes and says, swear to us that you will not harm us, just as we have never troubled you. Then goes on, we have always treated you well. What? Can I tell you something that's really important today? The people that hurt you don't know that they hurt you. The people that caused you harm don't realize how they caused you harm. And when you focus on them, and you focus on the past seasons rather than looking to the one where my help comes from, rather than looking to where my favor and flow comes from, we'll stay stuck because they're totally unaware. So rather than trying to make them aware, why don't we just make ourselves aware? Hey, they were never where my source was. They were never my favor and they were never my flow because the king has no clue. He says, swear to us you will not harm us just as we never troubled you. We've always treated you well and we sent you away from us in peace. Now look how the Lord has blessed you. So you know how Isaac does it? Isaac doesn't remind him. Isaac doesn't justify himself. Isaac doesn't try to win the fight. So Isaac prepared a covenant feast. It's talk about Psalm 23. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Isaac prepared a covenant feast to celebrate the treaty, and they ate and drank together. And early the next morning, they took a solemn oath not to interfere with each other. And then Isaac sent them home again, and they left him in peace. Eventually, the enemy stops fighting you when he realizes you were never fighting him in the first place. Stop fighting the enemy and start focusing on the favor and blessing of God. When you refuse to fight, peace follows. When you trust more in the rest and favor of God, when you're bold and confident in the place he sets you, joy enters your life. Isaac didn't have to prove his point because the enemy never controlled his destiny. You don't need to prove a point to anyone that doesn't control your destiny. You just need to know that God is the one who favored you. God is the one who blessed you. God is the one who promised you. So I'm just going to find space and dig another well. And I love this last one. Last one. Such a good passage. Goes on in verse 32. That very day, the day Isaac found peace, the day Isaac forgave, the day Isaac moved on, that very day, everyone say that very day, Isaac's servants came and told him about a new well that they had dug. "We found water," they exclaimed.